Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Hawkins, Brother and Sister, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, April 6, 1897. Portions of this letter are published in 3 SM 349-350, 1 MR 56. Dear Brother and Sister Hawkins, I am much grieved in spirit because of the turn things have taken. I am sorry that the testimony and influence of Brother and Sister McCullough should be so readily received, and that you should, without the most careful investigation, and without learning from the persons they accuse their side of the question, receive their version of things. Why should you become unsettled and uprooted, drifting on a sea of uncertainty, without knowing yourselves whether these things are so? I know that the Lord has been giving you light. The Holy Spirit has been leading you into greater light. But Brother McCullough has represented things as he imagines them to be, in a false, strange light. And he has worked with such earnest secrecy and with such apparent honesty to sow the seeds of mistrust and unbelief in the truth and to tear down the very foundations of our faith that you have become confused. Oh, my brother, if you consider, cannot you see that if your present position is correct, all your experience before and during the Adelaide camp meeting was a deception? Can you not reason from a higher standpoint? The Lord would have us use the intelligence He has given us. Up to that time, you were seeking light, and the Lord was giving you light from the Scriptures. You were walking in the light, not in accordance with human theories, but in accordance with the Word of the living God. Was the experience gained during the Adelaide camp meeting an idle tale, to be set aside because of the much talking of a man whom you must see has cherished his personal feelings because he imagines himself to have been injured? Supposing that all his imaginings were correct, does that outweigh the evidence that the Lord has given you in regard to what is truth? My brother, do not make light of the third angel's message, for it is the God-given message for this time. The message the Lord has for His people is the proclamation of the angels flying in the midst of heaven. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 6 to 10, 12. These messages are connected and bound together. One cannot be carried without the other. There is spurious sanctification and spurious holiness, but true holiness is wholeness in the service of God. All the requirements of God are blended in the two, loving God supremely, and showing that love by keeping His commandments, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. There is no possibility of separating these two. This is the whole duty of man, but oh, how broad are the principles here involved! They reach to the throne of Jehovah, honoring the law of His government, and to the very remotest bounds of the earth, embracing all humanity. Self must not struggle for supremacy. Self is the greatest enemy with which we have to contend. But obedience to all the commandments of God gives self the proper recognition, for we are to estimate ourselves as the property of Jesus Christ, proportionate in value to the infinite price paid for us, while God and His law are made supreme. And the golden chain, reaching from the throne of God, binds up by obedience every man with God through Jesus Christ, who gave His life for fallen man. This constitutes a perfect whole and develops a healthy, symmetrical Christian character. I cannot write as largely now as I would to you, but bear this in mind. We are praying for you, that your faith fail not, that you shall not continue in an unsettled condition, but place your feet on solid rock, which is the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. My brother, I send you a warning. because I have a love for your soul. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye had from the beginning. 1 John 2, verse 1-7. I have a commission from God to bear this testimony to you. We have the truth as it is in the Word of God, as it is in Jesus. I have passed over the ground carefully, step by step, and the Lord has opened His Word to me in such a beautiful way, and has in such a solemn way revealed the truth in my experience, that I know whereof I affirm. Those who disregard the light God has given in His holy Word will lose heaven at last. How men can believe and advocate the truth and testify that the power of the Holy Spirit is speaking to them, and then go away and deny their most holy aspirations and the Spirit's teaching, I cannot explain. I am so sorry that many fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, because they do not place themselves, body, soul, and spirit, under the control of the Holy Spirit. How many fall away when they are on the very eve of the great day of God? How many are misled by demons because they will not receive the message God sends them? They walk in the midnight of temptation. Which convictions shall we account trustworthy, the previous conviction, when the truth was believed and advocated, or the present conviction, which leads directly contrary to the Word of God? Does the Holy Spirit lead in two ways, into truth and out of the truth? Does it lead to evil speaking, to accusing, to discord? Will it lead brethren to falsify and to bear false witness of their brethren? I feel a deep interest in you and a deep interest in your wife, because I know that Jesus loves you and has been leading you to the light, that you may proclaim with no uncertain voice the last message of mercy to be given to the world. Place yourself in the channel of light that comes directly from heaven, not in the channel of mist and fog and darkness. Can you regard the judgment of a man as safe, who, though he has had the grand truths of the Word of God to feed upon for many years, and has proclaimed the truth to thousands, will turn square about and denounce his past faith and work in an opposite direction? Cannot you well inquire, what spirit has led Brother McCullough these many years if he has not been advocating the truth? Cannot you ask, what safety is there in trusting such an uncertain guide, although in denouncing his former faith he may claim to be led by the Spirit of God? Certainly, these are great considerations. By His Holy Spirit, the Lord has been leading you to see greater light in the truth of His Word. Satan comes in to counterwork the very work the Holy Spirit has been doing for you by striving to turn you away from the truth you have recently received. You have opened the chambers of your mind to let the light of heaven shine in. You have opened the door of your heart to welcome the heavenly guest. Will the experience gained during the time you were searching for light be discarded, and the few weeks' experience in the past, in connection with Brother McCullough, warrant you to follow in the path in which he would lead you? His mind is filled with the spirit of the enemy. His voice utters his sentiments. He will lead you to darkness and to dishonor God if you let him interpret Scripture for you. Is not your soul of too much value to be thus trifled with? You are not your own, you are bought with a price. Brother McCullough has set matters before you in the light of his own imagination, but can you not see that the Holy Spirit never works in this underhanded, secret, evil way? He has betrayed sacred trusts. He has no true light from heaven. He has kindled a fire and compassed himself about with sparks, and is walking in the sparks of his own kindling. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50, verse 11. Do you think that the Lord's Holy Spirit would work upon the mind of any man, causing him to mislead the church at Adelaide, to bring the members into a position of peril, and uproot their faith, while he abused the confidence his brethren had placed in him, thinking he would lead all the members to cut loose from the truth they had held sacred? Did Brother McCullough think that by his influence he would uproot beyond remedy the faith of the people? Did he think that no efforts would be made to reclaim them? The Lord's people lie very near his heart of love. If Brother McCullough presented truth that he thought would stand the test, why has he done all this cruel work in secrecy? Why did he not come openly to his brethren, who loved him and had confidence in him? If they had not had confidence in him, they would not have entrusted the work to his hands. Why did he and his wife work in an underhanded manner? Why did he wait till he thought he had created sufficient disaffection to make his case sure? Even those who have no confidence in the truth would condemn him as a traitor and look upon him as a betrayer of sacred responsibilities. He has uprooted himself, and I am so sorry that he has caused those who know the facts, or will know them, keen soul anguish. Anything that can now be done for him should be done, to bring him out of this fanaticism and delusion. Why did you not both, in an honest, straightforward way, lay the matter before Elder Daniels and Elder Colcord? Why did Elder McCullough build himself up on false statements? If at any time he had come to me, or written to me, that he was in trouble in regard to anything that I had done, or anything that I had said, I could and would have helped him. But all the universe of heaven heard his tirade against me. His entire work stands revealed, just as it is weighed in the balances of the sanctuary. He will meet it again. But is this the work that is to be expected from those who minister to the flock of God? There is not one vestige of the Holy Spirit's working in this experience, which has led to such results. I have no controversy with Elder McCullough. My life mission is before the world. It is not my work. It is the Lord's work. I take no credit to myself, for the Lord will deliver me from the strife of tongues. Psalm 31, verse 20. By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. We shall now have to meet and correct the falsehoods that have gone forth from Elder McCullough and his wife, in order that our brethren may know from whence they come. I must know what he charges against them. To bring before the public a tirade against a woman is not a result of the working of the Holy Spirit, but an inspiration of the spirit of the enemy, to which we shall give no place. Shall we leave souls to drink in temptation because of misrepresentation? No, never. I would be an unfaithful steward did I do this. There now needs to be a true statement placed before the people, and then my work is done. I enter into no arguments, but I cannot allow the work of God, which has borne fruit that has been before the people during almost my whole lifetime, to be brushed away as a cobweb by whom? A human being, subject to temptation, whom Satan is now sifting as wheat. If the knowledge and experience that Brother McCullough has had in reference to my mission is not sufficient evidence, it is because the strongest evidence might be piled upon evidence, and it would not avail. It is not evidence that he wants. It is a new heart. Brother McCullough has a work to do to undo what he has done. He will do it, or someone else will do it. Did he think that he could tear down that which God has built up? But Brother and Sister Hawkins, you have not had the experience in this work that he has had. The Lord has greatly blessed me in bearing to the people the message he has given me. I assure you that when Sister McCullough is converted, there will be a different atmosphere in her home. I ask you, my brother, whom I love in the Lord, was it not your duty to present your difficulties before some of our brethren, if you would not before me? What fairness, uprightness, or straightforwardness has been shown in Brother McCullough's rebellion? Can you admire such a spirit? Do not be hasty to join the delusion of the enemy. Be not fascinated by the alluring bait which the fallen angels may present. We have an aggressive warfare to fight now at every step. It is a hand-to-hand fight. O my brother, May the Lord put his everlasting arms beneath you. Let him hold you. Let him use you. Be not ensnared. God will lead you if you will be led. Here is a man, subject to Satan's temptations, with strong and weak points of character. Can his word transform you, or can your word transform him? It is written, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Assumption is not worth a straw, for it can be made to favor one's own selfish ideas. To believe every spirit is to reach the place where we believe that nothing is trustworthy. Jesus has warned us that deceptive influences will exist. Deceiving and being deceived will go forward until the close of time. The natural tendency of man, unless corrected, will prevail, as in the case of Judas. It is the renewing of the mind that causes a transformation of character. There is spiritual blindness upon every soul in which Christ does not abide. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Day by day a holy watcher tries every man's work. Each day the character of the man for that day is being imprinted upon the books of heaven. Just as the polished plates of the artist reveal our natural image, so the great master artist takes the imprint of every man's character, and it stands revealed in the books of heaven. By their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7, verse 20. What church is safe? What rules would be of any value if all should pursue the course Brother McCullough has taken? In his case, there has been a most marked departure from the Word of God. He was employed to advance the truth that we as a people believe and have put forth every effort to advance, a truth which has been presented in all parts of the world. Brother McCullough knows the past history of our work, but he has not allowed himself to be worked by the Holy Spirit. He has taken himself out of the hands of God. We now call upon you, my brother, to yoke up with Christ. I know what is truth, because it has been revealed to me by the Word and by the Spirit of God. The Lord will accept you and your wife, whom I love in the Lord, if you will cooperate with the Lord Jesus and learn of Him. When those who have started out in a work similar to yours have refused to be corrected, the Lord has left them, and they have engaged in a work like that of Canrites. We want you to return to the Lord. Return, we beseech thee, O Lord of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Psalm 80, verse 14-19. I hope and pray that the words of this psalm may be the language of your hearts. We have a merciful God. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84, verse 11.